Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, senior producer for Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, the latest headlines.
Pope Emeritus Benedict has been buried in a tomb at the Vatican after a funeral mass this morning led by Pope Francis and attended by tens of thousands of mourners.
Francis opened the mass with a prayer as he stood among thousands who had flocked to witness the funeral of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. Francis wore the crimson vestments typical of papal funerals, in contrast to the heads of state, royalty and clergy all dressed in black and seated nearby. Many had come from Benedict's native Bavaria to say their final goodbyes. I'm Karen Chamas.
A ferocious storm has been barreling through California.
The storm is expected to dump up to 6 inches of rain in parts of the San Francisco Bay Area, and most of the region should remain under flood warnings into late Thursday night. Forecasters say in Southern California, Santa Barbara and Ventura counties are likely to get most of the rain. I'm Donna Water.
Hundreds of people have been told to evacuate in part of Santa Barbara County, where mudslides killed 23 people in 2018. Top House Republican Kevin McCarthy seems determined to become Speaker of the House, but he keeps losing as members vote for Speaker.
Even a move to end voting last night was contentious.
Those opposed say no.
No!
And McCarthy's endgame remains unclear. Florida's Kat Kamek nominated him on the sixth ballot.
Well, it's Groundhog Day.
Which Texas's Chip Roy argued earlier is the actual problem.
This country needs a change.
The House cannot do any work until there is a new speaker. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Gas is up to $3.28 a gallon this morning, 13 cents more than a week ago, says the AAA. This is AP News. The spread of COVID in China is causing some worry.
The leader of the World Health Organization is concerned about the spread of the coronavirus in China. Tednos Adnan Ghebreyesus wants more data from the Chinese government. He's worried about the risk of life there. Throughout December, China recorded only 13 official virus deaths, despite many thousands of cases every day, and reports about overwhelmed hospitals, fever clinics, and crematoriums. Earlier this week, Chinese officials sharply criticized testing requirements imposed on visitors from China and threatened countermeasures against countries involved, including the U.S. and several European nations. Tedros says the reaction is understandable because countries are taking steps to protect their citizens given the void of information about the coronavirus. I'm Ed Donahue.
Salesforce, the San Francisco-based business software maker, is laying off about 8,000 employees. That's about 10% of its workforce. I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
AP Sports, I'm Mike Reeves. The Bulls in the Nets winning streak in Chicago. Correspondent David Schuster has the details.
DeMar DeRozan and Patrick Williams each scored 22 points as the Bulls snapped the Nets' 12-game winning streak, 121-112. For Williams, it was a season high.
It's a good win against a good team. You can't look too much into it because we got another good team coming up again. So you take what you need from it, see what we did well, what we can still get better at, but you take it for what it is, which is a good win against a good team.
Philadelphia needed to put in extra work to beat the Pacers. Reporter Michael Luongo has the story.
The 76ers tied the game late in regulation that won it in the overtime for a 129-126 victory over the Pacers. James Harden had a game-high 26 for the Sixers.
We've done a really good job of pushing through it, you know what I mean? And to some point, like, all of us has been out, you know what I mean? So we find a way to just keep getting better, keep pushing.
Cleveland beats Phoenix 90-88 on a night that head coach J.B. Bickerstaff says wasn't their best offensively.
Even though our offense obviously was struggling, you know, we didn't give in to that, and we gave ourselves a chance because we continued to compete on the defensive end of the floor.
Other NBA winners are the Magic, Grizzlies, Knicks, Bucks, Pelicans, Timberwolves, Pistons, Lakers, and Hawks. In the NHL, Nico Hischier extended his goal streak to 4 games in the Devils' 5-1 win over the Red Wings.
I just try to help wherever I can the team, and now with scoring goals, obviously that's a good thing too. Gives myself a little bit confidence, but on the other hand, got the 2 points.
In college hoops, number 4 Connecticut loses at Providence 73-61. Number 13 Arkansas beats number 20 Missouri 74-68. And number 17 TCU edges number 19 Baylor 88-87. In baseball, the Red Sox and third baseman Rafael Devers have agreed to an 11-year contract worth $331 million, according to a person with knowledge of the agreement. I'm Mike Reeves, AP Sports.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue. After 6 votes, there is still no Speaker of the House.
Well, it's Groundhog Day. Again.
Kevin McCarthy has come up short of the needed votes. He was nominated a 6th time by Florida's Kat Kamick.
To all Americans watching right now, I want to tell you that we hear you. We hear you. And we will get this right. No matter how messy this process is, we will emerge better for having been through this. Because nothing great ever comes easy.
The other Republican nominated today has been Florida's Byron Donalds. He was nominated for a 3rd time today by Pennsylvania's Scott Perry.
Everybody came here because they said to their constituents, this town is broken and I want to fix it. Well, how are you going to fix it if you come to this town and just step right in line and keep doing the same things that everybody has done before you?
Animated private discussions broke out in the chamber floor between McCarthy supporters and detractors searching for an end game. President Biden says he will visit the border with Mexico.
That's my intention. We're working out the details now.
The president plans to make the visit next week in Mexico City during meetings with the leaders of Canada and Mexico. More than 500 Cuban immigrants have come ashore in the Florida Keys since the weekend, the latest in a large and increasing number who are fleeing the communist island. The European Union strongly encouraged its member states to impose pre-departure coronavirus testing of passengers from China. Rick Singer has been sentenced to 3.5 years in prison. He's the mastermind of the nationwide college admissions bribery scandal by celebrities and business people who use their wealth and privilege to buy their kids' way into top-tier schools. Brian Koenberger, the man accused in the killings of 4 University of Idaho students, has left a Pennsylvania jail in the custody of state police. He could be headed to Idaho to face first-degree murder charges. This is AP News. Job openings have dropped slightly, but remain high.
The Labor Department says there were 10,460,000 job openings as of November 30th, down about 50,000 from the end of October. But there are still nearly 1.8 jobs for every unemployed person, down from a peak of 2, but historically very high. The number of jobs suggests the economy is not in a recession, and that businesses are still determined to add workers. The number of vacancies also suggests that the Fed will continue raising its benchmark interest rate at upcoming meetings to reduce inflation. Mike Hemp in Washington.
New York Mayor Eric Adams is vowing to fight his own city hall again after he was ticketed for rats at his Brooklyn townhouse. The mayor objects, saying his yard is clean. The mayor says if you are unfairly summoned, as he feels he has, you fight it. I'm Ed Donahue. AP News.
Twitter says it will ease up on its 3-year-old ban on political advertising, the latest change by Elon Musk as he tries to pump up revenue after purchasing the social media platform last year. In what else but a tweet, Twitter says, we're relaxing our ads policy for cause-based ads in the U.S. We also plan to expand the political advertising we permit. Twitter banned all political ads in 2019, reacting to growing concern about misinformation spreading on social media. At the time, then-CEO Jack Dorsey said the power of those ads brings significant risk to politics, where it can be used to influence votes. The latest move appears to represent a break from that policy. Political ads made up a sliver of Twitter's overall revenue, accounting for less than $3 million of total spending for the 2018 U.S. midterm election. I'm Julie Walker.
The U.S. Embassy in Cuba is opening to visa and consular services for the first time since diplomatic staff members experienced unexplained health issues in 2017. Visa and consular services were closed on the island after embassy staff were hit with a series of health incidents from alleged sonic attacks that remain largely unexplained. That meant that many Cubans who wanted to legally migrate to the U.S. had to first fly to places like Guyana. The embassy says it will begin processing immigrant visas with a priority placed on permits to reunite Cubans with family already in the U.S. and others like the Diversity Visa Lottery. The two stars of the 1968 Franco Zeffirelli film Romeo and Juliet are suing Paramount Pictures because of a nude scene shot when they were teenagers. Actors Olivia Hussey and Leonard Whiting have filed the suit in Los Angeles Superior Court, alleging sexual abuse, sexual harassment, and fraud. The suit alleges that director Franco Zeffirelli, who died in 2019, initially told Hussey and Whiting that they would wear flesh-colored undergarments in a bedroom scene. But on the morning of the shoot, Zeffirelli allegedly told the Romeo and Juliet actors that they instead would wear only body makeup, and that if they didn't act in the nude, the picture would fail and their careers would be hurt. Olivia Hussey was 15 at the time, and Leonard Whiting was 16. They're now 71 and 72 years old, respectively, and their suit says they've suffered emotional damage and mental anguish for decades. Paramount has not responded to a request for comment. I'm Donna Warder.
More than 30 graves were vandalized in a historic Jerusalem cemetery, leaving the Christian community feeling jolted in the contested city. Israel's foreign ministry called the attack an immoral act and an affront to religion. Jerusalem's Archbishop Hossam Naum called the act a hate crime. Camera security footage showed two young men, both wearing a Jewish skullcap, breaking into the cemetery, knocking stone crosses and stomping over tombstones, leaving a trail of debris and broken headstones. The Protestant cemetery on Jerusalem's Mount Zion is associated in Christianity with the site of the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his disciples before his crucifixion. The location is also sacred to Jews and Muslims and has been at the center of competing religious claims throughout the decades-long Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I'm Karen Chamas.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening.
Audio provided by the Associated Press. Music is by SkillCell and provided through Pixabay. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.